This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored. Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
So they depict lesbians of all types, I think, here. But there is Margaret Qualley's depiction of a lesbian is pretty extreme. Pretty extreme.
Oh, yeah. Just Roger Rabbit of sex, of sexuality. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a first-run bald movie. Tonight, we're talking about Driveaway Dolls, Ethan Coen's latest movie, collaboration with his partner. It stars Margaret Qualley and a bunch of other people, Pedro Pascal, Matt Damon. I should have looked this stuff up. I'm rusty. Do you know this is the first run bald movie we've done since Silent Fucking Night?
Really? Since last year?
Yeah.
Or this year,
that's how dusty my notes were. I was not even remotely ready to start this thing. What did you maybe we could talk start off
it's
what
got
did you
Coleman
think
Domingo
about?
It's got Coleman it's starring Domingo. Geraldine Viswanathan, who I don't know except from this movie. It's got Pedro Pascal, it's got Matt Damon, it's got, that might be it as far as notables, but this Joey Slotnick
also
guy
Ethan
always
Coen's
like
partner is Trisha Cook. I had that information. I'm not a pig. What did you think this and if you think the start of this podcast is offensive, wait till you see this movie. This movie's pitching a lot of zany, madcap, morally ambiguous humor.
Morally ambiguous. I don't know. It was way more explicit than I expected. I did not really expect this gear from a Coen project, but it's there. It's definitely there. They go for it.
I think the moral ambiguity comes from the implication that like a guidance counselor had sex with a teenager, and it was a positive formative experience. That's a spicy topic to be putting in your screwball madcap sexual escapade thriller.
Yeah, and that's really what it is, huh? I guess I didn't see that coming. I was sort of surprised watching this because I remembered the trailer and I remembered them showing all these star-studded cast here, and I'm like, oh wow, okay, all right, Coen's really going for it this time. He's getting some big names in here. I know they always do that, but I kind of expected more of them, but I guess I wasn't too sad not to see them because I kind of like this movie.
There was some really funny gags. I laughed pretty hard a couple of times.
Most of it was chuckles for me, but yeah, there were a couple of good laughs.
Yeah, and I thought Margaret Qualley was really...
Oh, my God.
Really a transformative type of role. With the accent, with the physical posturing, with just everything. It was an amazing performance, and it works because, like you said, this person that I'm not familiar with their work, Geraldine Viswanathan, is just a perfect straight woman to... whatever Margaret Qualley's doing. And there's also a really interesting interplay between the women where it's like, most of the time you think the Geraldine is the, like, you definitely want to trust in her and her decision making ability, but there's a couple points in the movie where it's like, no, Margaret Qualley's like, you really shouldn't open every suitcase you come across. Sometimes you shouldn't you shouldn't find out more information about sketchy situations.
I found myself thinking I might follow either of these girls at either point along their journey because, sometimes one of them has the right idea and the other, and sometimes I think they have the wrong idea and it turns out, actually that was the right idea. Go for it.
Yeah. There's a line in the movie where like someone says self-satisfied, well, everything worked out just great. And that's kind of the tagline for this movie. Yeah. It's very, you know, I, you know, it's a half a Coen Brothers film. And I felt like there's definitely some big Lesbowski scenes and energy in this movie. The psychedelic interludes remind me of like when the dude is doing nude bowling with the Lebowski sister, and is there's almost a Mandy-esque quality to this bizarre psychedelic. This is a movie set in the 90s with like a 70s psychedelic aesthetic. And every once in a while, between every act, there's just this bizarre scene with Miley Cyrus. And is it Matt Damon?
Yeah. Maybe a de-aged Matt Damon, but yeah.
I thought he looked awful young. I thought maybe they got a stand-in or some dude that looks, but like, what the hell?
I don't know. That was my least favorite part of the movie. I kind of actively disliked that. I think it was disruptive and was not worth it in the end. I think there's a reveal near the end of the movie that will make all that make sense, but it didn't make enough sense and it didn't seem important enough to show that for me to actually like those LSD trip kind of sequences.
I don't know. I went back and forth. I thought some of them, the ones that were just purely visual, I thought were interesting kind of interludes to kind of like let you think about what just happened before, kind of like a palate cleanser. But then when they got like really, you know, pseudo, what do you call that? Subliminal, like subliminal mind control kind of aspect to it. I'm like, I don't, this started to feel like a Zoolander skit.
It was not my cup of tea.
Some point, the movie does seem to suffer from excess of style, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, because part of that style is Margaret Qualley's performance, which I enjoyed throughout. Yeah. I really enjoyed the mobsters. I don't know who exactly is trying to find them in this movie, but I really enjoyed their back and forth. It felt very, you know, Steve Buscemi in Fargo with his, you know, annoying kind of dopey partner. It felt very Coen-esque, which shouldn't surprise anyone, I guess.
Yeah. I really liked Margaret Qualley's ex, the cop, her girlfriend.
Oh, God. I don't know how I feel about her.
I love her, and I especially love how she interacted with the gangsters. And
that was a fun scene.
And it's like very Coen-esque, where it's like they put all these balls on the table, and then they keep careening around. You just never know when they're going to come in and out of scenes. And
yeah.
You know, like when John Goodman destroys some guy's Corvette, you know, you never know where that stuff's going to go and who's going to come running out of what house. And I enjoyed that. And Coleman Domingo is just so fucking cool.
Oh, yeah.
And I liked it. Yeah, like the gangsters had kind of like a pecking order where the guy on the bottom with eventually gets his nose broke is like the lowest totem, and then his like partner is like a little bit smarter than him, but then Domingo is the guy on the top that kind of like, you know,
he's the one getting the job done, honestly.
Yeah, like the one guy says, like, this is a customer facing job, this is a service industry. We're in the service industry, you can't be this bad with people. And like Domingo does that to him, you know. But I thought that was super entertaining. And then it got, you know, it's got that trademark also Coen where you'll have moments of hilarity and then moments of extreme violence out of nowhere.
Or moments of like deep sincerity and like beauty. And then boom, just the crassest shit you've ever seen happens.
And that's the thing. It's like Fargo. There's like, you know, there's the Fargo side of that where it's like Fargo's funny, sure, but it's mostly kind of horrifying and existentialist and stuff like that. Whereas you got the Big Lebowski where it's like sometimes it's that, but it's mostly funny. And Raising Arizona, this is definitely closer to that.
I would say, yeah, it's a kind of middle of the road Coen movie for me as far as like how good I think it is. But honestly, I enjoyed watching it. It's not like and it's so short, right? It's only an hour and a half. It's not like it doesn't have time to overstay its welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious to see because, like, this Trisha Cook has been, you know, editing for the Coen brothers for a long time, since Miller's Crossing back in 1990. So I'm really curious to see her continue to kind of, like, you know, she's done a lot of short films and documentaries, but I guess she's got a new film already slated called Honey Don't. I'm not sure if she's doing that with Ethan or if she's doing that on her own, but yeah, there's, like, it's Coen-esque, but there's definitely a distinctive, there's something else going on. Like, I don't think Ethan on his own would be like this subversively like feminine and queer. There's no fucking way.
Yeah, I would get away with hope it. Not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because, certainly, like, I wouldn't be brave enough to. That would be, I would feel like I were insulting people. Yeah.
And I feel like 90% of it is like, but there's a 10% where it's, you know, I don't know. I'm curious to see. I got some questions about some of the moral decisions that are depicted in this movie and how I feel about it. We'll save that for the spoiler section, obviously.
It's a pretty... So they depict lesbians of all types, I think, here. But there is Margaret Qualley's depiction of a lesbian is pretty extreme. Pretty extreme.
Oh, yeah. Just Roger Rabbit.
She's a wild character. Yeah, she's just horny constantly, always wants to get laid, very free spirit, and just like the way she talks is just deeply gay, right? Like, mm-hmm. she uses expressions from time to time that you would not say if you were not gay, which is normal too, I think. There are definitely people out there like that, but she's playing an extreme version of it for sure.
No, she's aggressively coded as, like an arch bushmaster. Like, she's just gets, like, laid. Like, what has her ex-girlfriend said? If we could put a meter on her pussy,
we'd all be rich, yeah.
We'd all be rich, you know? Because she's just, like, she hooks up every night, all the time.
Yeah, everywhere she goes, all the time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, omnisexual. And not in, like,
a creepy
way. To the
point where it's a problem. Well, yeah, it becomes a problem for both her and friends as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, not all these moral questions are big ones. And more of like, is this being a shitty friend or am I out of touch? Some of the questions are like that. Yeah, I think we're about ready to talk about spoilers.
Okay.
I talk about the Cincinnati sledgehammer.
Oh, God. I love that phrase. I love it.
I do too. Let's talk about trailers though before we get to that. And also before we get to that, I want to talk about our upcoming movies because it has been a while. We have been a little creaky and dusty in the first run movies. But you know what? Hollywood fucking went on strike. They've been dishing bullshit out here. We wanted to go see that Argyle. Saw it was like 30 yikes percent on Rotten. We're like, no, thank you. We're not going to bust our ass after Groundhog Day weekend. So.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back with more Bald Move after this brief pause.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for podcasts that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love. And now, back with more Bald Move. We are now making a triumphant return because so is Hollywood. Next week, Dune 2, everybody. Jim can finally tell us if he likes this movie because he'll seen the entire thing. Dune 2.
Oh, this wasn't the triumphant return with a grand total, including my wife and I, of five people in the theater.
It was pretty sparse.
That was rough, man.
This parking lot was so empty. I am curious to see, because, like, is this like a thing where Hollywood took 3 months off and no one saw a movie after the holdovers? And
right.
And, you know,
or is this like a, oh, Thursday night, it's not like a big blockbuster movie, so yeah, it'll fill out in the weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll know next week, because if Dune 2 is half empty parking lot, it's going to but yeah, we'll have Dune 2 next week, and then 2 weeks after that, March 14th, Love Lies Bleeding, which is essentially this movie plus
The Incredible Hulk. I don't know what to make of the muscles in that trailer.
Katie O'Brien. Boy, it's always going to be a what if. What if she was Abby? I can't wait to see.
Yeah.
Bella Ram. No, shit. What is it? No, Loretta McCready.
Loretta, yeah, but
Caitlin Dever. Can't wait to see what Caitlin Dever does with the role, but it's going to, I feel like it's going to be like one of those what if Tom Selleck were Indiana Jones type of deals.
Oh no.
That plus everyone's talking about Kristen Stewart and her iconic look and swagger in this movie.
Everyone has iconic looks in that trailer. Iconic, for better or worse.
Yeah, like, can we talk about Ed?
yeah, let's talk about his stringy ass grease filled
Ed Harris, right? So we were talking about with the Crypt Keeper skullet.
Yep.
Oh, kind of so bad. A lot of Crypt Keeper aspect. That's a pretty brave role, to be honest, you know?
He had too much party going on. Yeah. That maybe a little more business is needed to balance it out.
Yeah. But it's another gal for gal movie. Uh-huh. That's kind of a caper. It looks like it might be a little bit more serious, but then again, there's like these like really psychedelic sequences in this too, so we'll see. Another one really excited for, March 21st, Roadhouse. This is the Amazon Prime original. It stars why is my mind shot tonight? Jake Gyllenhaal, thank you. Jake Gyllenhaal reprising Patrick Swayze. Pain Don't Hurt. Hopefully this movie is good.
God,
we're excited for it.
I want this to be good, and the trailer looked like a lot of fun to me. Real dumb fun, but fun.
It honestly, yeah, it looks like a Roadhouse with 21st century technology behind it, you know?
Yep.
Because I don't know that I want it to be good. I just want it to be fun. Because I would not say Roadhouse is good.
Well, that's my definition of movies like this, of good. It's just they have to be fun. They could be really stupid. I want them to be stupider the better, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a limit. You can definitely get into the uncanny dumbass valley, but then finally, April 11th, tentatively, this is the light, pencil this in very lightly, because we're going to keep our eye on the buzz on this, but our thinking is maybe Godzilla versus Kong, the new empire.
Yeah, we saw all the other Godzillas and Kongs.
Yeah, Jim missed the Godzilla Minus One. But
I'm gonna pick that up. Yeah, I gotta see.
Are
ya? I think my wife and I might watch that this weekend.
I think you'd like it. But yeah, I do. I like the big, vaguely sexual monkey lizard fights. I'm a big fan. We talked about this last time, Jim.
I don't remember what happened yesterday, let alone 15 years ago. Is that when the last movie came out? I don't know.
No, it came out like 2 years ago.
Now I'm joking. Okay. Now I'm joking.
All right, all right. Yeah, I didn't know we were raising money for you 2 weeks ago. My God. Let's talk about trailers before we get to the spoiler take. The first Omen.
Yeah.
This can't be, because I've seen many Omens in the video rental stores of old. I would never watch one. This is back when I was a big horror pussy and. But no one's ever said, like, you got to see the Omen franchise, man. And this purports to be the first Omen. Whose leg are they pulling, Jim?
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like it's a prequel, right? They did this with The Exorcist. They do this with all kinds of stuff. I don't know, man. I'm not that interested. Does it have Damien in it? No,
it very well might, but I don't even give a shit. I don't care.
Yeah, I've never cared about the Omen series, honestly. I would take Phantasm over Omen.
Can we talk about a movie that I am intensely interested in? The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yeah.
This is a new film coming out on 420, essentially, April 19th, 2024, directed by Guy Ritchie. I have liked a hell of a lot more than his stuff than I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And it stars Henry Cavill. It stars Reacher's Alan Richson. It stars Elza Gonzalez and Carrie Elwes.
Mm-hmm.
Yules? Elwaza? Babs Olas. Oh, yeah, Dr. Mbinga, Babs Olas on Monken. Man, that's trying a lot of these pronunciations live. Yeah. There's a lot of buzz. I'm really excited. This trailer looks like fire.
Oh yeah. I mean, super even fun. Just to see Henry Cavill acting all crazy. Like his tongue out shooting a fully automatic weapon look. That's a good look for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Disheveled hair.
Yeah, it's as we're going back to the World War II, the last good war, whatever the fuck that means. But I'm not mad at it.
No.
It's like Inglourious Basterds, 2012? It's been 12 years. We're ready to see Nazis butchered on an industrial scale again, I think.
Uh-huh.
Speak of the devil, Love Lies Bleeding. This movie's all over the place. I'm very excited to see what the actual narrative is.
Yeah.
Furiosa. Have we talked about this trailer before?
I didn't see this one.
Oh, yeah. We went to a different physical theater tonight. Mm-hmm. George Miller's back and he's doing Furiosa. Anya Taylor-Joy is playing the younger version of the Charlize Theron character. This is obviously a first run bald movie when it comes out.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't really need to see a trailer for this.
Yeah. 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 Like I think I would have loved every single Mad Max film if George Miller had a bigger budget in the beginning.
Sure.
Let's compare notes here. I had A Quiet Place Day One.
I did not. I have seen the trailer for that, though.
I know you've seen the trailer because we've seen it together. I mean, this is a reboot. You know, this is kind of like the Fear of the Walking Dead, Fear of the Quiet Place. But I think the Quiet Place is a cool concept. And as long as they can come up with novel ways to multi-thread characters and build the tension like a pressure cooker with these fucking giant ear monsters, I'm kind of in. And the second they fail to deliver 90 minutes of that, then I'm done with the franchise. But I'm there for it until that happens.
I am too. Yeah. I'm a little confused because I thought we saw Day One through John Krasinski's eyes, but I guess we can always see it through somebody else's eyes.
Day One Podunk Town. This is Day One Urban Metropolis. Entirely different species.
You think this is going to get into like scientists going what the fuck and trying to figure it out and cops trying to defend the city and National Guard called in, or is this gonna be?
I hope so, but it kind of feels like there's Zerg rushing us, like these pods are coming over every square inch of the land, and I think that would be hard. That's a hard thing to deal with. Like if zombies came and dropped pods 20 every square mile, I would find it more believable that they'd take over the world. That's kind of the proposition here.
Yeah, I do still want to see the human, the societal reaction, I guess, from it.
Yeah,
but I don't know if that's the story they want to tell. A Quiet Place has always been a very small story, so
And it does look
they'll
like
probably want to keep it that way.
It looks like a rapid depopulation and devolving into your standard Quiet Place type stuff. But I don't know, maybe not. Maybe it is more about surviving those first few days with information being scant and whatnot. But another movie that I'm pretty interested in, The American Society of Magical Negroes.
Okay.
Jim, what is the pitch on this movie?
It's the guy from the new Jurassic Park movies.
Right.
And something else that I just recently saw him in.
Cocaine Bear? Oh, Detective Pikachu. That's the other thing. Oh, Dungeons and Dragons, Honor yes. Among Thieves. He's the wizard.
There it is. Yeah, I like this guy a lot.
Yeah, he's really coming up.
For sure. So he apparently gets wind of this society called the American Society of Magical Negroes, whose mission it is to keep white people happy and stress-free, because the less stress and the less angry we are, the better the easier their lives are as well, the lives of black people. So they have all sorts of magical powers to make this possible, and each of them seems to be tasked with like a single individual, and this guy gets tasked with someone who indirectly or whatever, I don't know, leads to him falling in love with some girl. That becomes a problem because now he's off mission and they can't have that. So it's basically a rom-com, but it has maybe some interesting framing.
Yeah, it feels a lot like It's a Wonderful Life, but the angel's sent to keep George from being a racist asshole.
Okay, yeah.
Justice Smith also is the young man's name, the wizard from...
okay, I gotta Dungeons remember that.
Dragons.
Yeah, I've enjoyed his stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of... Yeah, it's like, you know, that's kind of the fun thing about being doing this for a while, is to start to see, it's like, oh, yeah, it's this guy mm-hmm. or it's this gal. They're really... They've been putting together a body of work, and hopefully it'll keep on going up for him. Yeah, it's a really interesting concept, and the trailer looks really funny and kind of like, you know, satirical. Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll see what that's all about. What else? Oh, the Amy Winehouse biopic, Back to Black.
Yes, I saw that too.
I have a baseline interest in about every musical biopic. I do like them. I didn't see the Elvis one, which is kind of a shame, but I also heard it was kind of I'm medium interested in this. Like, if I start hearing that this is like a definitive take on Amy, because I, you know, my knowledge of her is kind of like The Rehab.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, I know that she's got really well regarded album, but
yeah, apparently like a record breaking album. That's not the style of music I'm into. I remember hearing it on the radio all the time. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could be a good movie. I probably won't want to see it day one, though.
Did you have any trailers that I didn't see at your... Because that's the end of my list.
I got a couple. Have you heard of a movie called Sasquatch Sunset by David and Nathan Zellner?
No, maybe. Tell me about it.
It's a movie where Jesse Eisenberg, Riley Coe, and a couple other people, Nathan Zellner actually himself, I think, are all dressed up as Sasquatches, like in really convincing Sasquatch suits, and they just kind of live their lives as Sasquatches.
Or are they actually Sasquatch?
Oh, no. I mean, yes, the actors are put into Sasquatch suits, and then the movie is about a family of Sasquatch.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia article, and the director says that they're in full makeup and full body hair, no lines.
Mm-hmm.
They grunt, but there's no lines.
Well, I mean, they have lines. They're just in Sasquatchies.
It's 89 minutes long. I mean,
this feels like it's bizarre.
This could be the alien parts of Mac and Me, and that's all. And that is a bizarre concept for a movie. Are we going to watch this?
Maybe the tone is going to be interesting. You probably need to see the trailer, but like it starts off with this sort of majestic view of like a unique family, and you're going over the Pacific Northwest, right? And all the trees and mountains, and you zoom in, and you kind of see the family of Sasquatches walking. It's kind of beautiful. And then, you know, they do the stinger, the music cuts, and it cuts over to two of them humping, like doggy style. It just goes silent, and it's just like really ridiculous. And then the rest of the trailer is just like them kind of living their lives, getting angry, getting into trouble. I don't know what to make of this thing, man, but I'm kind of interested.
That's one I'm going to have to really make a week of the movie Rotten Tomatoes decision, because pulling, I could believe that pulling 17%, and I could also see it rolling in with 97, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there was that one, and then, oh man, another double S movie, Snack Shack. Have you seen this trailer? It's about, it looks like a, like it could live in the Wet Hot American Summer universe or something, where these two kids have to get like
good pairing for this movie,
jobs for the summer. And they apparently are able to like rent the snack shack, or like purchase the right to sell snacks at the snack shack at the local pool, the community pool, over the summer. And so they purchase those rights, and then they just kind of go crazy turning the pool and the snack shack into, I guess, like a teenage Nirvana. It's they go about some interesting marketing methods. They have something called fuck dogs, which is just hot dogs with the word fuck written on them in ketchup or mustard, your choice.
Okay.
And they do a little upcharge for that. They upcharge some other stuff. They find, because their parents are like, oh my God, you paid $2,000 to sell snacks at the snack shack all summer. They can't believe the price. So the kids have to make their money back. And then there's a girl involved, and I don't know, hijinks happen. And I think Wet Hot American Summer, but kids who are slightly younger than camp counselors at a community pool.
Yeah, that's what it's like. This is, you know, there. It's time for a new generation of people to have their coming of age and screwball comedies and all that. And I don't know if I can still enjoy those. You know,
I mean, it looks funny. Yeah, it's not going to hit me the same way, definitely, at 42 that it did at like 17. But
I'm more into the Sasquatch, to be honest. The Sasquatch sounds like where it's at.
I feel more like a Sasquatch at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. Maximum sass on the Sasquatches.
I identify. I think, those are the only two I saw that weren't at your theater.
All right. Now is the time that we put up the velvet ropes and we say, I'm sorry, you're not a club member. You can't gain entry to this part of the podcast. This is where Jim and I talk about our detailed thoughts about this movie of two young women on the lam learning to live and love in the mid-90s amidst psychedelic Matt Damon menacing and Florida, just the general Florida of this movie. That's what we're going to be doing. If you want in on that, you can get in on it right now by going to support.baldmove.com, get ad-free feeds, tons of bonus content. Did you know we did a whole ass podcast on Blue-Eyed Samurai? Had a lot of buzz. Talking about Apple TV.
I don't remember
that. We're talking about Apple TV Constellation. We're doing a whole ass, but that's only for club members. You're missing out. support.baldmove.com.